Good evening, everyone. Really lovely to be here and to share with you tonight. One of the things I do here that David didn't mention is I also oversee Alpha, and we will be starting a new Alpha course in October, on Monday the 15th of October. I can talk to you more about that in due course and at the end. And the talks we're doing in these few Sunday evenings are in the style of Alpha. So they might be a little bit different to what you're used to, but I hope they're provoking, that Jesus meets with you, they challenge you grow in your faith. So if you like what you hear, do come and talk to me about Alpha afterwards. Tonight we're going to look at faith, what it is and how do we have it. That's where we're going. And so we've got a video to start you off. This is something we did a few weeks ago, and where we went out on the streets in Brighton, asked people what they thought faith was. So a couple of minutes. There you go.
Faith.
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 Faith. Faith is...
What I think of what?
Faith.
Faith.
What do I think faith is? Religion.
A belief in God and humankind.
It's an interpretation of an individual's belief.
Something that you believe in.
A belief in a supreme being. Faith is a hope you have, and it needs to work with the circumstances of your life, and then what you get is the faith that everything is going to be all right.
I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of them.
I'm a Christian minister, actually, and, faith is my job. It is my work, and encouraging people to seek faith and to deepen their faith.
Was in faith, what, like cultural, what people believe in, I guess, like what keeps them going.
I don't know, when people believe in something, doesn't matter what it is, but something that they believe in.
I'm not sure really, I just got my own idea of it, I suppose. I know there is a God, I believe there is a God.
And your faith is what you think of him and...
Yeah.
Some ideas of what faith might be. I wonder, what do you think faith is? Here's some other definitions of faith that I've discovered in doing research for this. So maybe you think faith is something that people are made to believe, often when they're young and supposedly can't think for themselves, or something that they are able to believe because they have a need without any evidence. This is, I think, Richard Dawkins' belief. On faith, he'd kind of adhere to that. He describes it, I think it's from the God Delusion, and he describes it as blind trust in the absence of evidence, even in the teeth of evidence. That's a definition of faith, according to Richard Dawkins. The non-intellectual version of that is faith is believing what you know ain't true. So if you're not kind of at the Oxford University professor level, you might want to work with that one. Or maybe you think faith is more of a feeling, a kind of... Got that impression from the video. Maybe faith is that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling you get when you're in the worship time, perhaps in a group meeting with Christians, studying the Bible. I really wonder, I'd love to know what you think about faith. Tonight, though, I want to help us understand, not about faith in general, but something very specific. I want to help you understand what Christians mean when they talk about faith. So if you're here or you're listening in and you're not a Christian, and you hear people who call themselves Christians talking about faith, what do they mean? I hope you'll be able to understand that by the time I'm finished. Or if you're a Christian, what do you mean when you talk about faith? Do you know what you mean? I hope so. But could you explain it? How well could you explain it? So what is Christian faith? Well, at the core of Christianity is the Bible. So it's of vital importance that we understand what the Bible means when it talks about faith. If you've got a Bible there, when you open Romans chapter 3, and I want to show you how important faith is. There's lots of places we go in the Bible to see this, but Romans chapter 3 help show us. I'm just going to read just two verses here, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. And this is the key verse here. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Do you get how important faith is from this? Let me just read it again. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So this is like what Katie read out for us from Romans 8. The way we're made right with God is by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is of huge importance for Christians, particularly. Now, the Bible does describe faith as a gift, but it doesn't describe faith as the gift of stupidity, which is what I think some people might be prone to thinking that it is. I know that I can make that joke because that's what I thought it was before I was a Christian. Let me try and explain to you what the Bible means when it talks about the word faith. And here's a statement that will hopefully help illustrate it for you. I have faith in the British Prime Minister. That's my statement. I have faith in the British Prime Minister. Maybe you share it, maybe you don't. I think what you're hearing me say, as I say that, is that I believe the British Prime Minister is a real person, so he really exists, and I trust what he says. I think that's probably what you're hearing me say. You're probably not hearing me say, I propose that a metaphysical entity called British Prime Minister exists, and therefore, because of his existence, according to me, I am therefore justified in believing in him. I don't think any of you were thinking that, were you, as I said that? You see, when the Bible takes the word faith, it doesn't attach to it any sense of philosophical speculation. It's a statement. It's the same meaning. I have faith in the British Prime Minister. It's just a statement saying I trust someone who really exists and is true to his word and his character. That is the same way, in the same sense, the Bible translates the word faith. And Christian faith is more specifically not simply faith in something, but faith in someone. Someone who is both real and true, and the claim of Christianity is that this person is Jesus Christ. So do you see the same way? I say, I have faith in the British Prime Minister. Christians would say, I have faith in Jesus. There's certainty behind this statement. They believe in a real person who is true to his word and his character. You see, Christian faith isn't an irrational leap into something that we just hope might make our lives better. Faith in this sense, involves the belief that certain things are true and that these things can be examined, they can be questioned, and they can be shown to be reasonable. So Christians, I'm talking to you now, if you are, would call yourself a Christian, do you know that kind of reality in your life? Do you know that faith is not wishful thinking? It's not speculation that God may or may not be there. It's a knowing that God is there, based on an examination of the facts, not simply an irrational leap into, well, I hope this is good. Ah! That's what faith is. So I hope you've got that. You think, I know what faith is. I know what Christians are talking about. Christians, I hope you think, I know what I'm talking about now, even if I didn't 5 minutes ago. How do you have it? That's really important. Because we've got to get it. Somehow. You saw that in Romans so clearly. Why do some people have it? Some people say, I've got faith. Other people say, I just haven't got faith. Is it something you sit there trying to go, maybe I can work my faith up if I just sit here and try hard enough and it might come or it might not? Is that it? I don't think that's not a biblical definition of faith. See, the Bible says we have faith by looking. But we don't look at ourselves and we don't look within ourselves for faith. So here's an unhelpful way to answer the faith question. Look inwardly. Look into yourself. Believe in yourself. believe what feels right. We're told this a lot today, aren't we? Loads. The answer lies within. We must find our happiness in ourselves. Believe what you feel deep down, and faith will come. Should you expect Christian faith to arise in you as a result of introspection, meditation, deep thought? No. No. We look, but we don't look inwardly. We really don't look inwardly. We look to the place where God has revealed himself. And that place is in the person of Jesus. Faith comes from looking to Jesus. We ask questions of Jesus. We allow Jesus to ask us questions in return. And so if you desire faith or desire greater faith, then ask God for it. Pray. But spend time in the Gospels. Open up a Bible. Read about Jesus. Investigate the claims that Jesus makes for himself. You can listen to Tim talking about this from two Sunday evenings ago, where he talked about who is Jesus. That's where we start Alpha. Please don't repeat my mistake. My mistake was this. I was far, far too quick to dismiss 2,000 years worth of history and worldwide what approximately 2 billion people believe. Christianity. I thought I knew it. And I thought, it's not for me. It's for weak people. That's another story. I just arrogantly wrote 2 billion people off 2,000 years of history without examining evidence first. Please, I would just ask you, don't do that. Please don't share in my mistake. You see, we have to look to Jesus. And I believe the evidence about Jesus and his identity is absolutely compelling. You see, God doesn't force anyone to believe. This is the really interesting thing. Because we have to look to Jesus, God doesn't force anyone to believe. So if we don't look to Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised if we don't have faith. Or we don't believe in Christianity. So I'm not surprised that Richard Dawkins, for example, isn't a Christian, or you know, kind of the majority of people in England who maybe would describe themselves as Christians, but maybe we'd see some significant difference in how that works out in their lives. Because if you don't look to Jesus, you shouldn't expect Christian faith to be something that is in your life. Faith comes from God by looking at Jesus, where God has revealed himself. So if you're a Christian here tonight, you know this. Your faith needs to grow. And so you're not going to do that by thinking, I'm going to go home and I'm just going to try really, really hard and I'm going to work myself up into a bit of a frenzy and then faith will rise, because that's not going to do it. The way you feed your faith, the way you grow your faith, is by looking to Jesus. And so as you open your Bible, as you read the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, you see Jesus. We see God in human form. And we amazingly see how God thinks. We see how God acts. We see what God's character is like. We see what God does. And it's as we start looking at him and as we keep looking at him, we start to love him and we want to be like him. That's where your heart gets changed. That's where faith, which transforms your life, springs from. If we simply seek faith inwardly, if it's just a feeling, we will fail. Christian faith is based on facts, objective facts, that can be questioned, examined, challenged, but by definition they're facts, and facts don't change. So that's how you get faith. It's not comprehensive on it, but helpful. The last thing I want us to look at is, and I think this is a really pressing question for me and for many of us here, is why is faith so hard? Do you find faith hard? And if you think, I'm a Christian, I just find faith hard sometimes. You know, Christian faith, it's about looking at Jesus. But it's not really the experience of everyone, is it? Let's be honest. You know, lots of people read the Bible, lots of people read about Jesus, and it doesn't make any difference to their lives. I don't know, maybe you've read the Bible, and you've read about Jesus, and thought, nice story, a bit weird in parts, but no consequence, you just move on. I mean, why is it like that? Surely, I think if I was God, I'd make it much easier for people to believe. I'd make it much more obvious so everyone could get this, right? Well, the Bible says the reason it isn't obvious to everyone is there's another level to the question. And it's deeper because it impacts each one of us personally. It has to do with what the Bible describes as sin. Faith is hard because of sin. Sin in us, but sin in the world around us too. And that's visible in the way the world is set up and the kind of messages, the conscious and unconscious messages that culture and society tell us. And the kind of undertone of these messages is we don't need God. I owe this point to Anne. This is one of the things that just having her has been so illustrative of our culture, where Anne was saying to me, it just seems, the prayer level is very different, should we say, from, here, from some of the things she'd experienced. And as we were talking about it, one of the things that just all of a sudden, it was like scales falling from my eyes, was just that, we're so insulated here, we're just not aware of our need of God. We're so comfortable. We get so far removed in the West from some of the harder realities of life, things like suffering and hardship and sickness and even death, that we kind of create a bubble around ourselves that's reinforced by everything that goes on around us, and we label that bubble reality, we write on it. And we can live in the bubble, and it's nice in the bubble. And we can focus on the main thing for us. That might be having a good time. It might be making money. It might be feeling good. Or whatever our particular thing is. And I think a particular area in our society where this is so acutely visible is in our attitude towards our feelings and our emotional states. And Stuart McAllister, who's a Christian apologist, this is what he says regarding our society's attitude to emotional states. He says, feelings and emotional states have been elevated and promoted to such a degree that the domination of emotions and the demand for good feelings all the time is imbibed in the air that we breathe. We just live in a society that is obsessed with feeling good. That is the main thing. There's other things too, but that's a huge one. And the problem is this, is that when we come face to face with things, often they're things that are bad, they're sickness, they're suffering, they're death, they're hardship. They show us that our main thing in life is not the main thing that life is meant to be about. We have a huge problem when that happens. This, I can vouch for this from personal testimony. And so we come up with all kinds of crazy responses. We try and rationalize things. We try and act like they're not there. Or sometimes we just go completely to pieces because we just don't have a way of dealing with them. Because all these things point to a truth. And the truth is the sin in our hearts. They point to the truth that we are not the ones that the universe is meant to be all about. And I've sought to illustrate this. You might have seen this before in a couple of diagrams. So this is kind of my default state and all of our default states. This is a throne in the middle. And this is what we like. I'm in charge. I'm on the throne. I call the shots. And all these other things, they serve me. So you've got money there. That's money's not bad in itself, but we need lots of that to keep that close. Sex, it's a good thing, and we want that, so we'll have that in the next ring. And friends are really important. They should be there for me, but they should go away when I don't want them as well. So they're on that ring. And God, yeah, he's on there. I don't know, the rings might be different for you, but God's kind of out there, and God can bring good things in. He can do nice stuff, bring blessings, and help us out. Maybe answer our prayers when we're really stuck. But yeah, he can kind of keep out, really, because I'm on the throne. And it's all about me. But there's a problem with this. And the problem is that if there is a God who created reality, who made each one of us, who made the whole universe, then the only way that everything makes sense is that if everything is about him. And this is how things are meant to be. You have God on the throne in the middle, and there's other people there. There's you and me. We've got sex and money on there as well. And everything orbits around God, not around us. You see, the Bible says, let's just leave that up there for a minute, and the Bible says that when we come face to face with Jesus, we're not just coming face to face with a good teacher or a nice guy, but we come face to face with our makers, with our maker and our God. And that in Jesus, God has come back to take his place, his rightful place, at the center of the universe. And this is the challenge to each one of us, that Jesus says, he would say, will you trust me to be the ruler and the Lord of your world, or are you going to stay on the throne? You see, this is why faith is so hard. This is why I struggle, why you struggle, I'm sure, because God has designed it this way. This is how faith operates. Whatever way you come at it from, it requires us to move. We're in the middle in the first one. Can you click back one, Ben? We've got to get off there. We have to move. We've got to dethrone ourselves to allow God to take his rightful place. We need to move from our position of wanting to be like God to allowing God to be God. And that is something that is deeply, deeply hard for each one of us to do. You see, only Jesus is worthy of being on the throne in your life. And it's only when he is there that the world, your life, everyone else's life begins to make sense. So I'm going to finish now by talking to two different groups of people. So the first group, this is you, if you would call yourself a Christian, or you want to be a Christian. If you don't fit in that group, it's okay, just tune out. I'll come back to you in a second. If you would call yourself a Christian, here's the questions. Is your faith in Jesus? Do you know the truth and reality of Jesus in your life? That Jesus is a real person, that he can be trusted. And have you trusted him? Are you going to step off the throne and let him take his rightful place? So if that's you, I'm going to pray for you now. If that's not you, just sit tight for a second. Father, thank you for all those in here, in this room, who know you and who love you. We recognize this diagram is simple and not fully representative of all the difficulties that we have. And so I pray for those in this room who know you, that we would step down off the throne in those areas of our life that you want us and are asking us to step down from the throne in. Give us the grace to be able to do that, the humility that's required. And would you take your rightful place in the center of our lives? I pray that we would look to Jesus, that we wouldn't base our faith on feelings or anything other than the wonderful, glorious revelation of you that we have in the person of Jesus. And I pray we would know the truth and reality of him in our lives. I pray for those who maybe want, who recognize just a discontinuity in their lives, who would call themselves Christians but know that Jesus isn't on the throne. If that's you, just in this moment, I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself or embarrass yourself in any way, but I would ask you just tell Jesus you want to get off the throne and ask him to get on it. In fact, even if you're a Christian, you just know there's an area of your life where you are sitting on the throne and Jesus wants you to get off. Just tell him right now you're getting off. Ask him to get on. So, Father, for those who want to know you, would you meet with them? Would you come by your Spirit? Would you let them know the truth and reality of Jesus in their lives? Would you bless all those, all here? Amen. Yeah. Okay. If you're here or you're listening online and you think, I'm not a Christian and I'm not sure about Jesus, I don't feel like I'm ready to trust him, I just don't know enough, then I'm really pleased you're here. I'm really pleased you're listening in online. I would really simply love to invite you to Alpha. I think I have an invitation up here. We haven't got any in print yet because they do need to be, they need to go to the printer. But Alpha starts on Monday, the 15th of October. That's a lifetime away. So if you're here tonight, come and speak to me. I'll be up here at the end of the service. I'd love to just grab some details from you so I can let you know what we're doing. We meet on Monday evenings. We have dinner and then we have a talk on a different subject each week. And after people have finished talking, we then have the opportunity for discussion. Normally takes a couple of hours maximum. We'd love to have you along on Monday the 15th of October. Information is on the website too. So I think that concludes faith. What is it? How do we have it? Why is it so hard? I'll hand back over to